Thanks, Ian. What I thought I'd do at the start of the day is talk a little bit about the expectations and outputs. And I find often if you think about the outputs, in other words, what is it we're trying to produce as a result of this, it gives us a bit of a goal and a sense of what we're trying to achieve. And also a little bit about some of the timing issues and expectations, because in other words, how many meetings are we going to have and how do we organise the meetings. To me, what I had in mind is that this group could, if you agree, produce two major documents that we would write with you and on your behalf. The first would be a general report coming from this group, a consensus report, essentially outlining, and we'll be answering some of these questions as we go, you know, what the scope of an effect analysis should be, and just as importantly, what the scope of an effect analysis should not be. In other words, what's within the range of our activities for an effect analysis. And when we should undertake that, the type of work that you expect to see in an effect analysis. We'll be drawing on some of the work. You know, the European Commission's done some work and has some, you know, Q&A material. I think it's sort of the helpful types of guides that you have for people preparing effect analysis. And I think that's the sort of thing will provide helpful input into this report. So it would be a recommendation from this group to the ISB about how you believe we should conduct an effect analysis, essentially. The second thing that I think would be helpful would be coming more from us at the ISB would be, anybody's seen, we have a due process handbook, and it outlines all of the requirements that we have to undertake for our due process. And there's a section on there on effect analysis, another small section on fieldwork. And we think it would be helpful, not necessarily to print it with this, but to develop an appendix, which will be a helpful guide for our staff so that when they do undertake effect analysis, they know exactly what sort of shape it is. Because I think as the day goes on, we'll find that there's no perfect thing that you do in every single case. Sometimes, for example, doing little case studies is a very effective way to assess the effects of a standard. In other cases, it will be more general statistics and information. So there'll be different types of activities that depend on the nature of the problem that we're trying to assess. And I think for our staff to be able to undertake an effect analysis that is going to be widely well received and supported, it would be helpful to have a bit of a toolkit to do that. So I see that as being a product that will come out of it. So the first one, the report, is kind of yours, and the second one would be as a consequence of the discussions and the input that we get from here. So I don't know if there's any initial sense of or feedback on that itself, whether that sounds like a sensible approach, but I just think it, to me that gives a bit of a sense of you know where we're heading in a way, and I'm hoping that we will cover the chapters in that report that you're prepared to ask for recommendations. We'll cover a lot of the topics that we've actually set out here for the agenda today, with the scope, type of work, and then some of the communication issues in particular. So, and then I'll give you a bit of sense in terms of timing as well. I think when we set this up, we expected to have this completed by about November of this year. And so, because we've got to do quite a bit of the work ourselves, and Anna's going to have to do quite a bit of the drafting for this particular report. I had in mind that potentially for the next meeting itself, we might just do either a series of audio calls or a video conference, with potentially the wrap-up meeting being the next face-to-face. So rather than get, I think it's kind of like a three-meeting process that I had in mind. And so one more perhaps audio and perhaps a couple of audio calls with all the time differences that we do have, and then where people are working with drafts and, you know, provide us with feedback and try and work as remotely as much as we can, and then potentially a wrap-up one at the end where you present your report essentially.
Any questions or comments on that? Everybody happy with the process? Suggested process. We'll see how we go by the end of the day, and we might have different ideas by then. Depends how it works out.
So, is anybody on the phone line wants to comment at all?
Okay.
So I thought you might agree, because that means we're doing most of the work as well. So, I think it's easier if we hold the pen and get the input from you, and then, as I say, reach more of a consensus. So the other thing I want to set out a bit of background about, part of the motivation for this, is the effects analysis, and we've used that term now since about 2008, are used quite widely in terms of regulatory processes for either endorsement or when legislation comes in. But there's a wide range of these things around the world. One of the things that we have been doing more and more is to build into our processes the effects of a particular standard. We're going to have to define fairly soon in this process what effects actually means. But we've been doing that, and you know, Sue looks after the major projects, and I think for leases, for example, we published last Thursday the exposure draft in there. It's about a 40-page section in there, I think it is. You were given an early draft of that, and it's it outlines what we think the likely effects are of the leases standard. And so we're building into our processes this type of thing. One of the frustrations, I think, for us as the ISB is that we then often see in some places that work being repeated because we'll go out and we'll talk to people, we'll collect information, and then either we see others repeat the work we're doing, sometimes with the same people, and in other cases we'll actually see some work being supplemented, but often again with the same people. And so what we want to get to in the position, the way I describe it, is we want to get all the duplication out of the system and be in a position where we agree collectively on what an effect analysis ought to be for the ISB, in other words, the scope of it, the extent, and then enough confidence so that when we go and do the work and we report that work, that the people in having to endorse our standards, for example, are comfortable or satisfied with the level of work that's been undertaken, and then can simply go through an endorsement process relying on that. And actually, I'll ask Christella, I think that the European Commission initially, when they looked at the assessment of our standards and endorsement, they've asked EFRAG to do the effect analysis initially. But I think, am I right in saying that the long-term view was to have us do most of the work? And I think that's the Peter in the paper, the EFRAG and the Financial Reporting Council put together, that's the general approach, isn't it? It's once we've actually built the confidence in the system, then the standard set themselves will be doing most of the work.
Yeah, I can confirm from the European Commission point of view for the future would be to build on ISB's effect analysis. There would be a European perspective that we would need to put into light, and EFRAG role would be prominent with national standard setters. But yeah, the aim is to build upon your effect analysis and not duplicate.
Yeah, that's also my understanding, that originally the intention was for the ISB to do all of the effect analysis work, but that's gotten off to a rather slow start over the past 8 years. But it would be important for us to be able to rely on the work that you do rather than completely reinvent it. But there are a number of issues that we can bring up later.
I was going to ask Paul from a US perspective as well, in terms of you've got a lot of cost benefit assessment and so on. I'd be interested to know what sort of how that's shaping up in the US, whether it's becoming more important in terms of legislation, or particularly the accounting standard setting for the FASB faces.
Sure, thanks, Alan. It is something that has been getting increased focus from, I'll say, all parties, particularly as you're dealing with some of the more prominent standards relating to revenue, leases, and financial instruments. And so from a U.S. perspective, there is more attention focused on it. One of the things that we've been trying to message really related to accounting standards, though, is that some of the effect analysis related to accounting standards are much more difficult and in some cases not quantifiable. And so we've just been trying to help educate people through some of the efforts that we've undergone recently in terms of how we're approaching cost-benefit analysis. But from a straight legal perspective, there isn't a legal requirement to do effects analysis for accounting standards.
Are there any other comments from any other parts of the world, including the people on the phone, of course?
Karen Sharma speaking. Certainly, in terms of Australia, we are required to prepare a regulatory impact statement, and it's been made quite clear that we can rely on anything that the IASB may do as part of the impact analysis, so long as we cover off on the 7 criteria that are specified in terms of what must be contained and addressed in that regulatory impact statement.
Okay, thank you. Daniel, you want to?
Yeah, in the more developing world, we don't have the facility to do it ourselves, and therefore the ISB must do it.
Okay, that's a good point. Anybody else on their particular situation? Yes.
Yeah, just on Canada, I think you know we have like a IFRS discussion group, which kind of goes through like you know the kind of effects of the of new accounting as well as amended accounting standards, and then if there are any issues, we take it up with the ISB board. But then I've always felt like you know the analysis is more on a qualitative basis, but not on a quantitative basis. So that's something which is which could be really helpful.
Yeah. Well, I think as Paul Beswick said, sometimes quantitative basis is quite difficult with some of our things.
Right.
I understand your point. We should push there as far as we can, or as far as is realistic. Yeah. Okay.
Actually, I was going to say, Sue, with the FASB, what sort of work are they doing now on cost-benefit side? Is there a move to expand to perhaps a broader assessment like as we are?
We undertook a review over the last year in this area, and I think we've affirmed our basic approach, which is very similar to what I'm reading about, the ISB's approach, focusing on the decision usefulness of the information and the cost to prepare and provide that information. And what we're trying to do, I think similar to your proposed handbook, is to develop an approach that's more consistently applied from standard to standard. Because we think it's that having a proportional approach that's consistently applied really helps with ensuring and enhancing the credibility of the process. So we are taking a look at when, in particular, when do we field test and trying, obviously, as the ISB has, to do more work and doing outreach to investors to assess and evaluate the decision usefulness of proposals.
Good point. Anybody else?
If I can say from the point of view of one Latin American, I am Alexei Estrella from Ecuador.
Sorry, we just missed that last little comment.
I can say from the point of view of one Latin American, okay. What I think is the problem for the IFRS in the region was that the language make a big deal for the people to understand it quickly and really on time when the moment of the implementation was done.
So you've got problems with the timing of translation and also sometimes the language, I guess.
I think there's a problem with the online, okay?
Yeah, okay. Any further comments?